Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, babe. I'm only done in 15 minutes.
Just stay on.
Well, I want to welcome you to this afternoon's show, and I want to say that we need to be very careful about individuals in our society who do not know God, and also we need to pray for those who do know God. We live in a harrowing time. Many individuals are currently in an existential crisis, and I do mean that, because that which made life meaningful has been stripped away from them without apology. And so when that which has made life meaningful for an individual has been stripped away, well, what is left? Well, individuals become forlorn and they may become hopeless. And so there has been a decided rise in suicide, and there is currently a mental health crisis not only in the United States, but also around the world. Because people are being forced into conforming to a system that insists upon self-alienation. The new system wants to purposely cut people off from themselves, knowingly. They know that what will be created, and that this will hurt people irreparably. Irreparable harm will be done to them. And so this is an engineered crisis. Please understand that. This crisis has been planned and engineered with the outcomes that we are witnessing. What we see in the government, what we see in the federal government, in our own states, what we see in our local communities. For instance, in Southern California, there is the school district does not want to return to work. And so they are defying the governor's order to mandate to open. And so they have voiced their opinions as to why they want to open. But I want you to understand that these institutions that people once believed in are showing what they really are. And understand that beneath all this, what is going on with the government, what is going on with the politics, what is going on financially, with the culture, also extends into the realm of mental health. And mental health is an interesting, fascinating area. I don't have time to review the history. It's checkered history in Western culture. I don't have time for that with this show. But what I do want to emphasize in the show is the reality that the cultural lie that created prideful Western psychotherapy has vanished. It's vanished. It's gone. The abolition of man is upon us. You need to read that book by C.S. Lewis, The Abolition of Man. And I want you to note the date and the time that this book was written. Also, a book called The Ghost in the Machine. You need to read that book as well. And I need you to read about behaviorism. The Ghost in the Machine. I need you to read The People of the Lie. And I like the book, The People of the Lie, because the author of that book is honest. And he takes a very honest and realistic view of the human condition. And I was very impressed by his thoroughness. And he investigates the darkness that is in the human heart. He does, and he also talks about the necessity of what has been called in Catholic theology, exorcisms. So I want you to see that the psychotherapy is not of a whole, and it has fallen apart. It was built upon the foundation of a Christian worldview, and it has abandoned that Christian worldview. Understand that psychotherapy, traditional psychotherapy, cannot be a witness against the culture that created it. It cannot be an objective, discerning witness against the culture that has provided its money and research. So I'm going to be reading from The New Existentialist. And this was posted on May 11th. And this was a few years back. I'm going to read this. And this is article is from 529-12. 529, the year 12. It reads, quote, it reads, defining mental disorder, DSM-5 type. What is a mental disorder? This is a question the American Psychiatric Association 2012 has been contemplating as it prepares the DSM-5, the soon-to-be-published revision of its diagnostic and statistical manual of mental disorders. The DSM-5 development website proposes the following new definition of mental disorder, APA 2012, which reads 8. A behavioral or psychological syndrome or pattern that occurs in an individual. B, that reflects an underlying psychobiological dysfunction. C, the consequences of which are clinically significant distress, for example, a painful symptom or disability, i.e., impairment in one or more important areas of functioning. D, must not be merely or expectable response to common stressors and losses, for example, the loss of a loved one, or a culturally sanctioned response to a particular event, for example, trans states and religious rituals. E, that is not primarily a result of social deviance or conflict with society. To many people, I'm still reading from the article, this sounds pretty good on first read. But how readily does this definition allow us to truly distinguish what is or isn't a disorder? What are the underlying symptoms that this definition implies? Let's consider the first two definitional criteria, which when combined hold that a mental disorder is a behavioral or psychological syndrome or pattern that occurs in an individual that reflects an underlying psychobiological function, dysfunction, ABA, APA 2012. The DSM has long claimed to be a-theoretical about the causes of mental disorders, APA 1980, 1987, 1994, 2000. This makes sense if you think about all the constituencies the DSM has to please. Mental health professionals have a lot of different, often conflicting ideas about what causes people to experience problems in living. This is the ultimate area for psychotherapy, or so we are told. Problems in living. They also often disagree as to how best to alleviate such problems. Should they rely on medication, psychoanalysis, behavioral conditioning, rational argument, extended family discussions, sociopolitical consciousness raising, or any number of other possible intervention strategies to help those they serve. In order to avoid alienating any particular constituency of mental health professionals, the DSM has strategically adopted an theoretical stance on the etiology, that is, causes of mental disorders. At the same time, the DSM hews to a medical model by organizing mental disorders into discrete categories, just as medicine does with diseases. That is, DSM is a medical model manual that is nonetheless, DSM is a medical model manual that is nonetheless theoretical about the causes of the disorders it catalogs. This is kind of confusing, but important to keep in mind. Trying to be theoretical about the causes makes defining disorders difficult. This is readily apparent in the DSM-5's proposed definition, which says that a mental disorder is a behavioral or psychological syndrome or pattern that occurs in an individual. APA 2012. What does this mean? To start with, it means that disorders are inside people. Even though we can't observe it directly, the idea that our psychology is inside us seems commonsensical to most people. But what about our behavior? Is that also inside us? No. Behavior is something people do. It is observable, not inside us. Thus, to say that behavior is something that occurs in an individual doesn't quite hang together theoretically. Unquote. I'm going to stop there. Now, I wanted to just provide a foundation for what I am teaching in this afternoon's show, that the cultural lie that created prideful Western psychotherapy has vanished. I want you to get the understand the political foundation now. Once there was an ethical foundation for clinical psychotherapy based upon the Christian worldview, that is gone. They have abandoned the Christian worldview. Now it is built solely on what? Solely on human pride, or on what fits the time, or on who's in charge politically. And what is really fascinating is that psychotherapists and those whom it trains have no spiritual understanding. They have no discernment of spiritual realities. They have tried to come up with a spiritual psychology, but what does that mean? Now, when you get a chance, read John 17, begin at verse 20 and read to the end of the chapter, because in John 17, 20, Jesus prays for all believers. And Jesus, these are his words, verse 20, "My prayer is not for them alone, but I also pray for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want you, those you have given me, to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them, that I myself may be in them." I'm speaking solely to believers. Please understand that the Word of God contains for us everything that we need for the problems of living. Not only for the problems of living in the cosmos, but we have an eternal and wonderful destiny with God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Good afternoon. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. And God bless you.